extravaganza with my beautiful wife Tracy from Good morning, guys. This is Matt in the Man Cave. It is 4:38. Today, where I'm at, it's going to be 101 degrees. I'm with my wife. Her name is Tracy. She has a channel. It's called Esther 414 Ministries. Tracy, would you say hello to the people out there listening and watching attentively, drinking their coffee and sharing the day with us and the Lord?
Hello, all you coffee and tea drinkers and any other beverage drinker out there.
Yeah, I know there's some people. I know I got some younger guys out there. They're doing a little bit of energy drinks, but you know, it used to be, it was just Red Bull, and now there's like 50 other, one of my daughter's favorite energy drinks is a drink called Rain. Okay, so we're going to be in Numbers chapter 9. We're going to start with verse 15. I'm going to have Tracy go ahead and start reading. Before she starts to read, Tracy,
yes.
Just from the top of your head, how many times have we moved out ahead of the Lord? Do you have a specific figure that you can give me?
Unfortunately, no. There's so many times I've lost count. And I am ashamed to say that.
And how many times has the Lord been moving and we just sat and did nothing? He was moving. He was wanting us to move. He was wanting us to listen. Has that taken place in our lives?
It actually has, and it's just as bad.
It's just as bad.
You don't want to do either one.
So after asking you those questions, I really should kind of downshift back into first gear and thank God for his grace, his mercy, his long-suffering, his patience with all of us. Don't do that, listener. Like, well, that's them, not me. All of us have missed the starting gun. I mean, I was in track, and in my first meet, when the coach is out there training you, okay, he says go, or he blows a whistle. Behind me is a guy with a gun, and he shoots it off, and I don't run. Everyone else is running. They know. I felt so stupid. Go ahead. Go. I felt so stupid. I really did. I just felt like such an idiot. That's always stuck with me. The coach is like looking at me. There's no do-overs in this. You lost. Well, you could have told me he was going to shoot a gun. Scared me. I thought it was in the hood. Compton, L.A., San Francisco. Oh, all right. Goodness. Starting at verse 15, chapter 9 of the book of Numbers. This is a great story. Something that's going to teach us. Go ahead and read, Tracy.
Okay. On the day that the tabernacle was set up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, the tent of the testimony, and from evening until morning there was a fiery appearance over the tabernacle. This is the way it used to be continually. The cloud would cover it by day, and there was a fiery appearance by night. Whenever the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after that the Israelites would begin their journey, and in whatever place the cloud settled, there the Israelites would make camp. At the commandment of the Lord, the Israelites would begin their journey, and at the commandment of the Lord, they would make camp. As long as the cloud remained settled over the tabernacle, they would camp. When the cloud remained over the tabernacle many days, then the Israelites obeyed the instructions of the Lord and did not journey. When the cloud remained over the tabernacle a number of days, they remained camped according to the Lord's commandment, and according to the Lord's commandment they would journey. And when the cloud remained only from evening until morning, when the cloud was taken up the following morning, then they traveled on, whether by day or by night. When the cloud was taken up, they traveled. Whether it was for 2 days, or a month, or a year, if the cloud prolonged its stay over the tabernacle, the Israelites remained camped without traveling. But when it was taken up, they traveled on. At the commandment of the Lord, they camped, and at the commandment of the Lord, they traveled on. They kept the instructions of the Lord according to the commandment of the Lord by the authority of Moses. I gotta tell you something here.
Go ahead, tell me.
What really stood out to me. Mm-hmm. It's like when you and I teach, there are times when we're teaching something and it's like we're kicking a dead horse. We want to make sure they get the point. It's like in this story here, they want to make sure you understand the point here. When the cloud's there, we stay. When the cloud moves, we move.
All right.
When it moves, we're moving. When it stays, we stay. I mean, how many ways could they say it?
I like it. No. When I was reading this many times, I love how redundant it is because you're mm-hmm. listening
yeah.
and you're questioning what God is doing
mm-hmm.
is what the Holy Spirit does in our lives.
Uh-huh.
Okay. The tabernacle would have been in the center of the camp.
Yeah.
Surrounding the tabernacle would have been tents of yeah. all the different tribes, yeah, basically, the cloud, yeah. you know, all the way around.
Yeah.
Everyone can see the cloud, okay? Mm-hmm. When it started to lift during the day, this was a huge cloud. This was a mighty
yeah.
manifestation of God's glory. There's no questioning, okay? It would lift up, and then it would start to move. You knew, all right, we're leaving. So when you started to see the cloud rise up,
yeah.
you knew within an hour or two that cloud was going to be going forward, backwards, left, yeah. right. You just knew it.
You better start pulling up
now,
camp.
Yeah, you better start pulling up camp. Now, at the end of the day, the cloud would start to drop, which is amazing. I mean, it would literally start to drop. They knew, okay, we can rest for the evening.
Yeah.
But the cloud's going to raise up in the morning, and then we got to follow it.
Mm-hmm.
At night, which was amazing, there was fire inside the cloud. And so yeah. it didn't matter. During the day, the cloud would have given shelter from mm-hmm. the severe heat
yeah.
in the wilderness, in the desert. And at night, there was a fiery cloud that gave them like an illumination, even when the moon wasn't out.
Yeah.
And again, I sometimes kind of wish, I know this is terrible, that we had that. Because how many times have I missed it, Tracy?
Mm.
I mean, literally, how many times is God moving and I'm sitting? I'm sitting mm-hmm. right now. What do you got? Come here. Let me see that. Let me see that. Oh, my gosh. What's in your other hand? Really? Is that for me? That's for Matt, my other son. Oh, I should put you on the man cave right now and say, this is not what a good daughter does. I see you're walking him into the other room. What? Tell us what these are real quick.
Pumpkin spice white chocolate chip cookies.
At 4:45 in the morning? That's crazy. Hey, girl, you're a partier.
Breakfast All right. cookies.
Breakfast. Oh, hey, guys, excuse me. They're breakfast cookies.
Yeah.
You can see we keep some strange hours here. Back to insulting myself and inflicting wounds on myself.
Oh.
How many times was God moving ahead and I didn't move? And I mean, you know what? It's so hard. The Christian life, it is not a one day, one prayer kind of thing. It is a daily thing. It is a journey. It is a pilgrimage.
Yeah.
In the book of Revelation, when it's describing those individuals, God's children that are saved, it says it in a very unique way. It says those who continue to the end will be saved. I like that because it's not like you can stop halfway along the way, throw the towel in and
yeah.
say you're God's. God says, no, you're going to finish what you've started. You don't quit on God, no matter what society is doing in this life.
Yeah.
But there have been times where God was moving and I just sat in a chair, just like, guys, I'm seeing my favorite chair. And there was times where God, that cloud, his spirit was telling me to what?
Stay.
And what did I do? Oh, I was sure I couldn't stay.
Yeah.
Lord, you don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
You don't understand the opportunity. You don't understand. But here's the thing. The cloud represents rest. When the cloud was there, rest. The last verse says this, whether it was a day, a week, a year?
Yeah.
5 years? I mean, here's the thing. That's a long time to be camping out.
Yeah, to wait.
To wait.
Yeah.
But God is saying, I want my children to rest.
Mm-hmm.
Just relax. God knows what tomorrow holds, does he not? Yes.
Yeah.
He knows what today holds too. There are times, and I'm not, guys, I shouldn't even be preaching this morning because I don't have it down. You'll notice. I'm going to give you a free one.
Go ahead.
Let's put Matt in front of the Mack truck. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I guess it's an international truck now. And I know I have some truck drivers out there. Mm-hmm. And when it's coming at you at 75 miles an hour, you better move because it's going to wash you over. golly, I have not mastered this. I mean, I really have not. There are times when God is moving and I don't move. And there's times that God is staying and I move. You know, and it reminds me of Paul, the good that I know to do, I don't do. And that which I know is wrong, I end up doing. Oh, wretched man that I am, who can save me from this life? And the answer is Christ.
Yeah.
It is abiding in God. And when we say that, it's easier said than done. It really, really is. It is easier said than done. What clouds it? Say, Matt, where's the problem? Where's the disconnect?
Go ahead.
Let's take the burden off of the people. Take the burden off of it. Let me lift that off of you. Okay, because I doubt, honestly, that anybody listening to this morning has ever made this mistake. I bet they're perfect following the cloud. Okay, here's what happens. We live in flesh.
Yeah.
Our flesh wants to do the opposite of what God wants us to do. The Bible says, with the Spirit we serve God. We follow God. With our flesh, we serve ourselves. Oftentimes, we're in the flesh. Again, the Bible says, Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, when we are in sin, not throwing stones. Stop it, stop it, stop it. I'm not throwing stones at you. Who doesn't have sin? Oh, wretched man that I am, not you. Okay, when we're in sin, we can't hear God.
No.
So God's Spirit may be moving, but we don't sense it.
Mm.
Or God's Spirit may be staying, and we don't sense it. We can't hear the still small voice. Because it's almost like you have a radio and it's a disconnect. You know what I'm saying? There's this thing that's going on.
I do have hope for you guys.
Give us a little bit of hope here. Yeah. I can give them the iPhone 14 hope, but go ahead with yours. It's better.
No. Go ahead with your iPhone 14. I'll start talking.
Okay, the newest, latest, greatest, brightest, shiniest from iPhone, okay, is one little thing.
One feature,
because it really, when you take one phone from the 13 to the 12 to the 11, there's not a lot that changes. Guess what? It's a phone. What do we use it mostly? To surf and to what? To text.
Talk.
Not even talk. It's more mostly texting and then surfing and that kind of stuff. All the phones do the same things.
Checking mail.
Shame on you, Apple, for slowing the phones down as they get older. I don't want to get into it, but I forgive you. Go ahead and send me an iPhone 15 for free when it comes out. I appreciate it, and I won't lay in on you for being wretched and being deceptive and full of darkness.
But the
14 has a feature. When you can't get cell phone service, you point your phone into the clouds, and you can text via satellite. 14 was the first phone to be able to do that. Isn't that amazing?
It's for like
emergencies.
Emergencies.
So let's say you my sister, she's in Alaska, and I was surprised that she bought a phone. I was just kind of startled, honestly. To tell you the truth, I was in shock. She bought a phone, but she bought a several years older phone because she got a super good deal on it. You know, you can buy them. And that's not a bad deal. Phones are expensive, but I was thinking to myself, oh my gosh, if I lived in Alaska, I would ink up. I'd spend whatever money I had to get the phone with the satellite. It's not that you're paying for a satellite phone, which are thousands and thousands of dollars. You have a feature on there that will allow you to text via a satellite, and it works. I mean, I've been out there where there's no phone service, and that option comes up on my phone. But I'm not texting anybody through the satellite. But it could.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We have an option when we're not in sin, when we're not in the flesh. The other day, I got really, really mad at someone and did something really, 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 really stupid. And I asked my wife the other day, do you think I was in the spirit or in the flesh? It was just so funny because, I'm in the flesh. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We get hindered because we're in the flesh and we remain in the flesh. Where God says to walk in the Spirit. Was that a good example?
Kind of, but I
go ahead, tie it in.
I think maybe you...
Tie it in, baby.
That they weren't getting the example.
Okay.
When God wants us to know something...
Oh, we'll know.
We will know. It's kind of like that satellite phone that can be used emergencies only, you know?
Yeah. Tie into my example. Yeah, that's good.
That can be used in emergencies
only. Yeah.
Like,
I'm with you.
The Lord is like, okay, look, I'm not going to let you mess up on this one. All right? Let me.
There are times where he really will. He will put his foot in the door and not allow it to close, too.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
There are times when we went to pause on something.
Yeah.
And we're like, well, maybe it's not the Lord. You know, maybe we're misunderstanding.
Are we hearing? Is it us, is it God, or is it the enemy?
Yeah.
You go through this kind of series of things.
Does he mean now, or does he mean later?
Later, or what does he want me to do?
And then we hesitate. But you know what? In like one or two of those situations, mm-hmm. the Lord allowed us to get out of step with him.
Yeah, because he used that.
To help us learn.
Yeah, and again, I don't want to go into it and throw ourselves under the bus, because we are teaching this morning, but... When I go back, and I can think of one that deals with Memphis.
Yeah.
I think about our Memphis journey, and there's a Memphis, Egypt. Okay, but look at, yeah. We were in sin prior to that.
Yeah.
So when I look back, one of the worst seasons of our life was a year-long season, and I'm not going to go into the season, but it was terrible, and we were in Memphis, Tennessee, and it was just so awful. But prior to going, we were praying and praying and praying and asking and asking and asking and seeking and searching and fasting and getting counsel and doing all the things that the good book says to do. But the one problem is we were not repenting of our sins. We were in a particular sin that a lot of people would call the gray area. But there's no gray areas to God.
Yeah.
We did not repent of the sin, say sorry, so... Again, according to scripture, we were not clearly hearing the Lord. Can I just say one more thing? Okay. Satan loves when you pick up petty sins.
Yeah.
You know why? Stupid sins. He loves it.
Yeah.
Because he knows the good book. And he realizes God's character. He understands. He really does. It's not that God has forsaken you. It's not that God has left you. Even Isaiah 54, it says... For a moment, I was quiet.
Yeah.
But he can take advantage of a lot of people, and he has taken advantage of us mm-hmm. to a point, because there is, again, still a spiritual hedge. Maybe part of the hedge came down, but not all of the hedge. I mean, but I tell you what, it was awful. And when I'm telling you, the moment that we were in Memphis the first night, I was at a Kroger on a payphone. I was talking to my mom, and I knew that I was in sin. I knew that something was wrong, spiritually speaking. I just had lost all peace. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that God has given us is his peace.
And
his peace will guide you.
Yeah.
He really will. If you start to lose peace, that's a check in your spirit. There is something really, really wrong. And again, guys, we're not the Israelites. We're the church. We follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. It would be very easy to open up the door in the morning. Mm-hmm. Is the cloud over my house?
Yeah.
Or is it above? Oh, good. I can rest another day. I mean, that's how it would be. To me, I kind of feel like we got, well, not really. It's to me, it seems simpler to look at a cloud, but there's so many other questions that I can't just cry out to the cloud for. I mean, imagine you're an Israelite. Yes, it's easy to look at the cloud. It's raising. It's time to go. It's low. It's time to stay. But I can't ask the cloud all the questions where I can ask the Holy Spirit. Okay, where am I in sin? Where am I missing it? What have I done?
Okay, and I'm just laughing because he's like going on. I'm like, wait, but I'm not finished with my point.
Here, show me your hands moving around. Yeah, she's just dying to speak. She's just dying over there.
Yes,
and we're smelling the cookies.
Oh, cookie monster.
You're smelling the cookies. All right, go ahead.
But I got to tell you, though, and that example that he was using of Memphis, and there was a couple other examples as well, where we were starting to get ahead of the Lord. I will tell you that
we learned the hard way.
Not just the hard way, okay, but in God's goodness, in his mercy, in his grace, in his long suffering, God is so good to us that he will put up a barricade and he'll put up another obstacle.
Yes, yes,
and
yes.
And you have to literally just take a
jump.
A jump or take a battering ram.
And that's what we did.
We did.
Because we were in sin.
Oh, no. I know this is the enemy putting up an obstacle. So it's like,
it was God.
When we were praying, it's one of those where you prayed what you wanted to hear.
Yeah. Sometimes we get in our... We get in our heart what we want, and no matter how many obstacles or how many lack of peace or counsel, we move forward because we know that we know that we know.
This has got to be the right thing. This is what I want, so it must be right.
Yeah.
You know?
And we had one of those tonight. Me and Tracy did. We had one of those tonight. Yeah. with the jacuzzi. I'm sitting, guys, I'm reading my Bible, and I've had a tough day, right? This is earlier, and I looked at Tracy, and, you know, guys, we the Lord is providing for us.
Yeah.
Okay, but there's no extra money. There really isn't, you know what I mean?
No.
I mean, the money comes in the day that the bill is due, but we have great credit because we pay everyone. And I mean, we do. We pay everyone as agreed. Lord provides. Yes. And yes, we've racked up a ton of debt. But I'm in this office chair over here, guys. That office chair right there. Right? And I spin it around and I look at Tracy. I said, I ordered a jacuzzi. And she looks at me.
I said,
no, you did not. And I just thought to myself, guys, like I didn't pray about it or anything. I just said to myself, you know, it's one of those Coleman inflatable Sousa spas. And it was half price. It was $600. And it was marked down to $286 with tax. It was $305.
I'm like, I know we can't afford this.
And she go, and I go, and she goes, this is what a good wife says. Okay, you ready, men, for what a good wife says? What were you thinking? We're so tapped.
did you pray about it?
Yeah, I go, no. I because everything on me is hurting. And I said this, I just thought it'd be nice to put that in the backyard, sit there, just soak for an hour. And so she goes, well, I tell you what we need to do. Okay, we need to pray. And so we prayed. In my heart, what did I want God to say from heaven? Because I had to charge it. I didn't have the money.
It's like, you're right.
Yes, Matt, you are so faithful and kind and considerate. I find no blemish in you. Feel free. I will provide the money. This is the Lord. He didn't say that.
No.
I felt like the Lord was waving me off.
Yeah.
Because if I have to charge it, that means it's no. You know what I'm saying? So I go in there really quickly, and I cancel the order. But what's funny is I knew, you know what I'm saying, I was breaking principles. Honestly, the principle was don't charge what you don't know that you can pay. And I already have enough charged already. And so, but I really wanted to hear the Lord give me a peace or the Holy Spirit in a still small voice.
Don't you worry, Matt. I'll take care of it.
I got you. Hey, I'll take it. I got you covered today. But guys, here's the thing. God is God.
Yeah.
And what I mean is truly he is high and lifted up. He is holy. He's majestic.
Yeah.
He knows everything. Nothing changes him. The immutability of God is awesome because he's not going to change his mind on you. Okay? Mm-hmm. He loves you. You're his child. But there are things that hinder us from hearing the Spirit of God. And because they hinder us, we move out in presumption or ignorance. God is speaking. He really is speaking. But again, sometimes we're not wanting to listen or we're not hearing because of something in our life or we just want what we want.
Yeah.
I love this story here. I absolutely love it. Parts of me love it. Parts of me hate it because here's the thing. It would just be so neat. You know, whether it was a day, a week, a month, or a year, as long as the cloud's there, I mean, they're covered. I mean, you know what? How nice would that be to know that I am exactly in the will of God. I'm exactly where God wants me, and I'm resting.
And you know,
because how many times do we think, or I get an email, or someone asks me at church, am I in the will of God, or am I not in the will of God? Am I doing what God wants me to do? Am I not doing what God wants me to do? Does God want me to marry the brunette? Does God want me to marry the blonde? Should I go to Gatlinburg? Should I not go to Gatlinburg? I mean, it's just on and on and on.
Do you know what, though, what also is nice about the cloud and the
fire? Yeah.
Is that there's no misinterpreting If the cloud is lifting up and moving.
You
and
know.
But like the things that the Lord can bring into our lives.
Oh, yeah.
We can read it wrong.
Yeah, we can.
You know.
Or the Lord speaks and then the enemy tries to talk us out of it.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that voice I heard that said no on the jacuzzi, you don't need to charge it. I mean, who's to say? I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. I did cancel it, guys.
Goodness.
Yeah. Oh. That is so funny, is it not?
Yeah, it is.
It was a pretty color, too.
But do you know what else?
Go ahead, tell me.
And I had a dream about something like this one time, and it was about Matt and myself when we were in the mountains, and we were driving around this road, and it took a big hairpin bend, and I was telling Matt in the car, I said, you're going too fast for the corner. You got
to
slow
down.
In
the vision,
dream. Yeah, in this dream. And then he was going too fast. He ends up going straight, trying to take it. And we go into these trees, but there's a path in the trees. And it winds around, and it comes back onto that same road. And the whole point of that dream was, when you get off the main road, I can get you back on. It, you might have missed a little section in the meantime.
You may need to say sorry, ask forgiveness. But God can get you back on track.
Exactly.
And there are very, I want to just say this, in our lives, we have really gotten off track.
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
4 or 5 major times.
Yeah.
But we repented. We said, sorry. Yeah. It really was. When we look back, hindsight, we're like, okay, we were in sin. We didn't realize
really
it.
We missed it.
But God's not there to smack you down, hit you with lightning, you know. He's there to be your God.
He teaches you.
He loves you.
Yeah.
Okay? So he's, you know, some of the people listening, and this is hard, you didn't have a really good dad. Your dad wasn't everything that you needed. Okay? And I always say there are no perfect parents, but there are some parents out there that could have done a much, much, much better job, especially if they belong to the Lord. Sometimes our parents don't belong to the Lord.
Yeah.
We relate to God. And this is what's crazy, okay? A lot of times we relate to our Heavenly Father similarly as we would relate to our dad. If I'm witnessing to someone and that person, that young man, had a problem with his dad, it is so hard to try to talk to him about a Heavenly Father that loves him unconditionally. Your Heavenly Father is nothing like your earthly father. Nothing. Your Heavenly Father is perfect and loves you unconditionally with an agape love. It's not based on merit. It's not based on what you do, okay? Yeah. It's based on His choice of you. He loves you. He's going to get you over the goal line, okay? He's going to get you back on track. Because we may be talking to someone right now, Tracy, and they got off the track.
Yeah.
I mean, and they've been off the track, and they've been going through the woods according to your dream for a long time.
Yeah.
And I remember sitting there one day listening to a great sermon by a great theologian. I can't even remember his name now, but I remembered being all inspired, you know, big eyes, kind of like, oh, I want, you know, the whole time he was talking, all I thought about is I want to shake his hand at the end of the sermon. I couldn't, you know what I'm saying? But he said, you can always find God exactly where you left him off. Mm. And I use the example of kind of like you're driving in the car with God and you stop the car and you ask him to get out because you have maybe a difference of opinion. You can always go back.
Yeah.
And most of the time, we really, when we think about it, we know where we opened the car door and we ask God to jump out. Or we know where we left him off.
We started doing
our own thing and God was silent, and he will remain silent. He doesn't have to, but oftentimes he does. And when we're in the classroom, like some of you are and Tracy and I have been, when you're in the classroom, when you're being tested, the teacher doesn't talk. See what I'm saying? You've already been taught. You know right from wrong. The Lord has put you through it. He's going to take you to where he needs you to go.
Yeah.
It's not really ever what we're going through, but where we're going to with the Lord.
Yeah.
But again, I can think of many times where I was crying out, but I didn't realize that God had me in a place of testing. Mm-hmm. And that's why he was quiet at the time.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I'm so grateful for the Holy Spirit. Because if I will come clean with him, and I will say, Lord, like David, search me.
Yeah.
Show me, Holy Spirit, anything that's not pleasing, any hidden sin, any wrong attitude, any unforgiveness, the Holy Spirit will bring those thoughts to mind.
Yeah.
It may be a few hours, it may be a day, but again, I'm trusting the Holy Spirit. It doesn't have to be in that second, but I've prayed that prayer and then hours later heard, like, I mean, almost what I considered an audible voice. It was so loud, you know, and me and Tracy were talking about my first son. I was praying for him for something that we needed God to do something, and we had a question for the Lord in regards to him. And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. You know, I was on my hands and knees. It was early, early morning, dark outside, and then I laid in bed. I just relaxed, released it to the Lord.
Yeah.
But not even like an hour and a half later, I heard a voice. And as soon as I did, I woke my wife up, and she wrote it down exactly what the Lord said. And it was correct.
Yeah.
Exactly what I needed to hear. And from there, I could base other decisions. I knew what to do after I had heard that voice.
Yeah.
Guys, like I say all the time, what's so wonderful about the Lord is you're a 30-second prayer from getting it right with God. Lord, I dropped you off. Lord, I'm in sin. Lord, I don't know what to do. If you have peace, okay, how do you know you're not in the will of God?
Yeah.
Okay, if you don't know of any sin, how do you know that you're not in the will of God? Because we oftentimes think, well, see, in our hearts, there's so many things we want to do and accomplish and have.
Yeah.
And we think it's up to us to do that. But in reality, it really is back to this text here. The last verse says that God would keep them there a day, a week, a month, a year. It's when God moves that he's going to facilitate the dreams, the desires, the goals. It's only when God moves. If we move out ahead of God, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
It's collateral damage. It affects a lot of people because we're never an island unto ourselves. Been there, got the t-shirt. You still have the t-shirt, Matt? Oh, no. We lost that t-shirt long ago.
You know, also, I want to add to that. If you have gotten off of track and then, you know, you say the prayer and you ask the Lord to forgive you and get you back on track, let me give you a word of warning.
Warning.
The enemy will want to come along
yes.
and say, look at all the opportunities you missed because you got off track. Rebuke the enemy
yes.
for that. God has another path. He's going to get you back on track.
He will
yes,
always.
Things you will have missed, but God is getting you.
Yeah, the enemy
path.
Would like to come along right before you're getting right with God.
Yeah.
And now he wants to offer good or better.
Yeah.
But again, even though you might be going a different direction with the Lord, you want God's best. Don't listen to the enemy. And again, one of the telltale signs is the peace.
Yeah.
I mean, don't do anything where you grieve the Spirit of God, where you don't have peace. And if you have a check in your spirit, I mean an uneasiness. When I talk about a check in my spirit, I have an uneasiness. Yeah. This morning, I woke up with a check in my spirit. And I was basically, that means, okay, I'm on alert because the Lord is speaking to me.
Yeah.
Something is going on.
Yeah.
There's some different dynamic. Something spiritual is going on. I don't understand the fullness of it. So I'm very cautious in what I think, what I speak, how I act, where I go. And see, I may have 2-3 months of just nonstop peace with the Lord.
Yeah.
And then this morning I wake up and I'm like, uh-oh, something has changed. Something has changed and God is wanting me. And I'm aware of it. I mean, you know what I'm saying? When I lose my peace, I am very, very aware of, okay, I need to be on guard.
You need to watch.
Yeah. I need to watch. And I'm just really, I'm in protective mode.
Yeah.
I'm just like kind of being very, especially with what I speak, because I realize my spirit is agitated. Something has agitated my spirit.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it is. And I'm not, it's almost like Elisha, where the woman, you know, who lost her sons, throwing herself down at the feet of Elisha. And Elisha says this, God has hidden it from me.
Yeah.
I he's talking to his servant. God has hidden it from me, and I don't know what the problem is here. And so, guys, in time, if you will keep your focus on the Lord, you will know when to stay, when to go.
Yeah.
And just imagine this. This is just an example. Let's imagine that God has a big, gigantic to-do list up there, and it's a calendar. and put your name at the top of the calendar, okay? And there's certain days that are marked on that calendar where he is going to walk you through a door. He's going to open a door for you.
Yeah.
But there's other doors and there's other days. And you know what it says? Wait. Rest. It says this, trust. It says this, abide. And say, we would like the whole calendar to be filled with those dates that say, I'm going through the door. God's coming through with the promises. He's gonna bless me beyond measure. Yeah. The promotion. I'm meeting my future spouse. You know what I'm saying? I'm being healed. The sickness is gone.
Yeah, everything's lined up.
It's not like that. It's more like a calendar. And there's a few days on that calendar where God will move. But the other days is trust, rest, abide. And if you can understand that premise, because that's your cloud. Your cloud is always with you because the Spirit of the living God is always with you. Well, I hope you got something out of this story today. Tracy, thank you for being here with me. Guys, would you post a big thank you? I get my wife up awfully early so she can do these with me. Why don't you just put something like, hey, Trace, thanks. And thank you for making him coffee. He's lousy without coffee. Something like that. That would be funny. All right. We love you guys. Bye. Have a great day. Have a great week. Peace.